Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Excellent. We've got you back. So we're obviously talking about behavioral activation therapy and how this works, how this sort of thing can actually operate in the treatment of mental illnesses. Can you explain to us what behavioral activation therapy actually is?
Sure, Sean. It's based on a simple idea, really, that our behavior has a pretty powerful impact on our emotions and how we're feeling. And often with problems like depression, a big part of the problem is a severe drop in motivation and a real drop in activity. And that might be, the past things that we engaged in that we drive a lot of pleasure from, that we really valued in our life. And because depression saps our motivation, can lead us to believe that things are hopeless and feel pretty bad about ourselves as well. We fail to get any reward from those experiences that we previously enjoyed. That might be relating to friends or family or physical activity, exercise. So we become more and more insular and isolated and withdrawn. Now, the problem with that, obviously, is that gives us even fewer opportunities to derive any pleasure from life. So that's what we call the vicious cycle of depression, feeling depressed and unmotivated, reducing our activity and withdrawal, and then feeling more depressed. And that cycle continues and can continue to increase the severity of depression. So behavioral activation aims to reverse that cycle of depression by starting very slowly often to re-engage people in those valued activities in their lives, get them back in contact with the things that used to give them a sense of pleasure or sense of achievement in their lives.
Do we have any actual comparison with how this compares to other methods of treating depression, such as medication?
Sure. There have been some studies that have looked at the impact of medication versus other psychological treatments or behavioral treatments like cognitive behavior therapy or behavioral activation. And the what we call the effect sizes, that is the average improvement in depression that people are likely to experience, can be very similar. It is a case of horses for courses to some degree. For some people, they're going to prefer taking medication. Other people really aren't happy with taking medication and the side effects that can occur as a consequence of that. The behavioral approaches can have some advantages in terms of a lack of side effects. The downside is that, it takes a fair bit more effort to start re-engaging in physical activity or social activity than taking a medication, a pill does. So some people, behavioral treatment will suit them better. For some, they prefer medication. And for others, a combination of both can work very well. But what we know is that when people learn some skills to better manage their mood on their own through exercise or behavioral activation, their chances of relapse and that is reoccurring depression down the track is a lot less. So for some people, a combination of both medication and psychological treatment can be optimal, and if they decide to start coming off their medication under the supervision of their doctor down the track, they've got a lesser chance of relapse than if they only took medication alone. Mm-hmm. And there is some research to show that, psychological treatments can be as effective for many people as medication.
So if we were to start on this kind of regime of behavioral activation, what would be the first steps? I imagine this sort of thing would be actually prescribed to you, but what kind of first steps would a patient have to undertake?
Sure. Well, it's fairly simple in a way, but it's not simplistic in that it can have a very powerful impact on people's lives. So the first step really is starting to recognize fluctuations in mood. And often when you're feeling depressed, everything feels a bit dark, and we tend to think in very overgeneralized ways. So we see things as all bad, or nothing gives us any degree of pleasure or sense of achievement at all. But often if we monitor the day-to-day fluctuations or even moment-to-moment fluctuations in our mood, we can actually start to see patterns. We can start to see that, when I was in bed until 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I was feeling seriously depressed. But the next day, when I got out of bed at about mid-morning and actually at least made my bed and had a shower and then, you know, got out of the house, then on that day I felt much better. And we can also look at changes in mood from before we do something to after and see whether it has any impact on our mood. And so really the first step is monitoring those fluctuations and those changes in mood and looking at the relationship between those fluctuations in mood and our activity, what we're doing at the time.
Mm.
So we'd encourage people to actually monitor this on paper for a good week or two. Because as I said, when we're looking back, we can sometimes be very pessimistic about everything being bad. But when we've got that data that we've recorded and we see those fluctuations and the correlation between our mood and activity, that can help to give us some motivation to engage more in those activities that were associated with a slightly better mood and less in the activities that were associated with the lowest mood.
Mm.
So we use that information to then schedule in activities for coming weeks. So we'll get our diary out and we'll schedule in more of those better mood activities, the ones that made us feel a bit better over the coming weeks, and do fewer of the activities that really were associated with the lowest mood. And really, that's it. And continuing to do that for several weeks and seeing what impact that has on your mood. And it's important to create a bit of a balance between those things we do just for pleasure, just because we enjoy them, and those things that give us a sense of achievement. They may be things that we don't necessarily enjoy doing, but we feel good for having done them. So, you know, some of the obligations we have in life that you know, we'd probably prefer to be having fun, but we know that they need to be done. And allowing them to pile up is going to make us feel even worse. So scheduling in some fun activities, just pure liquid pleasure, and some activities that really will give us a sense of achievement in our day.
Mm. Well, Peter, it really does sound like something that a lot of people will be undertaking. Obviously not those that have just been diagnosed with clinical depression, but a great deal of us to sort of brighten our lives just that tad. Do appreciate your time sort of unpacking this one for us.
It's a pleasure, Sean. Thank you for having me.